Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Today, 4 new Roman Catholic bishops are going to be ordained in Switzerland, but Pope Leo doesn't want the ordinations to go ahead. The ordinations are being made by the Society of St. Pius X, a group that rejects many of the reforms the Vatican has instituted, including Vatican II. The journalist Patsy McGarry joins us now to explain what's going on. Afternoon, Patsy.
Good afternoon, Sean. I hope you're keeping well.
I am. Thanks very much. Tell us the roots of this organisation. Who set it up and why?
Well, Sean, it goes back to Vatican II. And Vatican II was a reform movement, if you like, within the Catholic Church that took place in the early 1960s, set up by Pope John the 23rd. And it basically opened the Catholic Church up to the modern world. And there were a small number of people who deeply resisted and resented this move. They wanted to stay with the old Tridentine tradition, the church that was founded by the Council of Trent after the Reformation, and indeed as part of the Counter-Reformation back in the 16th, 17th century. And in other words, the Latin Mass as it was, Latin vernacular in church activities, the Mass being said with the priest facing the altar rather than the congregation, no use of English in our own case, or Irish in some cases. And all those reforms were just led by a man called Lefebvre. He'd been head of the Holy Ghost Fathers, now known as the Spiritans for a period. He's French, was French. He died in the late 1980s. And a group of similar minds coalesced around him, and he wanted to retain things as they were. He's had very difficult relationships, and indeed the Society of St. Pius X, which he founded, has had difficult relationships with the popes ever since. They were excommunicated under Pope John Paul II. It was somewhat relaxed, the relationship between the Vatican and themselves, under Pope Benedict XVI. Francis tended to take a harder line with him, and now it would appear Pope Leo the 14th is about to do the same. He basically laid down the gauntlet to them this week, said you cannot ordain, you don't have the papal authority to ordain bishops. And if you do, you are automatically excommunicating yourselves. They've been here before, by the way. They were automatically excommunicated in the past, and that was lifted by Pope Benedict XVI. So it's been a topsy-turvy relationship between the Vatican and this group. Called after, by the way, Pius X, a pope who died in 1914 and a deeply conservative man.
Under the under canon law, are they entitled to ordain priests?
No.
No. So
you
yeah.
It's as simple as that, Sean. You must have papal authority to become a bishop, for a start, or to ordain priests. That has to be legitimised by the Pope. These have gone out on their own, and they did so under Lefebvre back in the 1960s, 70s period. They ordained bishops. Then, without the authority of the Pope, those bishops did not have papal authority. Though, I mean, if you without getting into too many complications of the theological necessities or niceties involved, a bishop is considered in the Catholic Church to be a spiritual descendant of the 12 apostles and to have the spiritual authority that goes with that coming from the founder of the church, as Catholics believed, Jesus Christ. These men originally, including Lefebvre himself, were consecrated by the Catholic Church. So they have that authority, but spiritually, but they don't have it legitimately. They must therefore have the authority of the Pope if they're to ordain legitimate bishops, and they don't. And today they ordain 4 without that authority and have automatically excommunicated themselves.
Right. Okay. And their objection to, you know, the modern iteration of the Catholic Church, is it mostly to do with the Latin Mass?
It's part of it, Sean. By the way, that's a great word, isn't it? Iteration. It sounds theological.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely. And people tease over its meanings as much as they do over theological ones. Basically, they don't want change. They don't believe in ecumenism. they don't believe, they believe the Catholic Church, as we were, as people were taught back before the 60s, was the one true church, and anybody who believed otherwise was destined for hell. They don't believe that women should have any role. They don't believe in girls being altar servers, for instance. They are very, very traditional. In fact, one of them, a famous one called Williamson, believed women should never wear trousers. I mean, this is the sort of thing you're talking about. They're deeply conservative, going a real throwback to, if you like, 1950s Ireland and the way it used to be here under people like Archbishop John Charles McQuaid.
Yeah. And isn't your man Williamson, didn't he deny the Holocaust as well?
He's denied a lot of things. And this is another disturbing side to these people. They are very conservative politically. The Lefebvreites in France were allied to Le Pen and the right-wing political movements there. They were descendants, if you like, from those who resisted the French Revolution, the Royalists, and all that went with that. They're essentially anti-democratic. They're anti-republican. And that's the political wing of them. But their core is essentially spiritual. And it is the spirituality of the post-Tridentine church, the church founded, if you like, or rather that emerged from the Council of Trent set up to counter the Reformation.
Yeah. Would they still regard the Pope then as the head of the church?
They have a peculiar relationship with the Pope because they do believe in papal supremacy. And yet here they are going against papal supremacy. And this is not the first time that they did so. It's a complicated position theologically and very, very fine in terms of theological thinking. But that is true. That is the case. They recognise the authority of the Pope and then defy it.
Hmm. That's a curious one then, really, because in effect, by doing this, or perhaps even existing at all, they're creating a schism.
Well, they are. I mean, the Vatican has a dozen of these situations saying that they are responsible for the schism, not Rome. Indeed, you use the word Roman Catholic to describe these bishops, Sean, earlier. They probably wouldn't be described as such now because they're excommunicated. They would say themselves that they're Catholic rather than Roman Catholic. In other words, they're doing this in defiance of the Bishop of Rome. But they have four new bishops. They only had two up to this. They needed new bishops, and there are about apparently 1,000 priests and nuns at this ceremony in Switzerland, where their headquarters is now today, and attended about 15,000 people. Now, they're not huge in number, but they are there. They're here in Ireland too. They have a church in Dunleary.
Oh.
But there are four priests serving out of there, but it's very, very small. They're hoping to build a school here in Ireland, a very traditional one. They have one in England, in Berkshire, but they're growing slowly, but they're on the fringes.
Yeah. So they're in France, they're in Switzerland. Are they distributed around the world, even though they're relatively small in numbers?
They are, but they're very small. I mean, of the priests ordained, or the bishops ordained today, two are French, one is Swiss, and one American. And they have a presence, but a small presence throughout the Catholic world. Indeed, indicative would be this their experience here in Ireland, which is also small, though they do have a church.
Mm.
Now, that said, there's also another complication if you're able for this. During the last, Pope Benedict allowed, the traditional Mass was banned under the post-Vatican II period from 1960s on, because it was attracting people like this.
Mm.
But under Benedict, it was allowed in certain churches. There should be a church designated in every Catholic diocese where the traditional Mass could be said on Sundays. And there is one, St. Kevin's in Harrington Street, where the priest says his Mass facing the altar, decorated in the pre-Vatican II style, with his back to the congregation and in Latin. And I've been there a few times in the job, and you'd be very surprised at some of the people you'd meet there. Very senior people in Irish society, who are very traditional Catholics. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but they are there. They're not mainstream Catholics, and you just wonder where they do stand in terms of the current, or indeed the Pope generally.
Yeah, but strictly speaking, is that against the rules to do that?
No, I mean, this was allowed by Benedict, who himself was a conservative Pope, to accommodate traditionalist Catholics who had experienced the church as a cold house, if I can use that phrase, under Pope John Paul II and latterly under Francis, who had no time for these people.
Right. OK. So those Masses that are going on at the moment, they're not banned by Leo. Could he go further and say he can't do it?
No, they're continuing under Pope Leo as well in St. Kevin's and Harrington Street every Sunday. Go to the website if you feel like attending the Mass. They have redesigned that church almost in a pre-Vatican II style to accommodate people who find that congenial.
Hmm. And Leo has said effectively, you will be excommunicated if you do this. They do seem to be going ahead with it today. How quickly does one become excommunicated?
Well, Sean, it's put much more subtly than that. If they do this, which they've done, they excommunicate themselves. Ah. It's not that Rome is excommunicating them. In other words, they're taking the responsibility. It's not Leo that's excommunicating them per se, as he would put it. It is them, by doing this, have excommunicated themselves. Basically, it means their marriages, or the marriages they officiate at, are not legitimate. The sacraments they perform or officiate at are not legitimate in the eyes of the Catholic Church. That's the principal difference.
Where did they get money from?
Well, it's strange, but these traditionalist groups, whether they be within the Protestant context or the Catholic context, or indeed in Islam or in Judaism, tend to attract a lot of very wealthy people. I mean, we've had, for instance, the Opus Dei is a very wealthy organization and a very conservative one. The Legionaries of Christ, another extremely conservative Catholic organization and in some disrepute at the moment, attracted huge wealth in Central South America, but particularly the United States. There is simply, there seems to be an attraction for extremity where great wealth is concerned. And sure, look at, we see it today in the more secular context, the like of Elon Musk and the tech bros in California. They like the right.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So technically speaking, and we have covered this before about that, that people have complained it's actually quite difficult to leave the Catholic Church. One of our listeners wonders, so that, is this a way around it? If you declare yourself to be a bishop, they'll kick you out.
Well, it is difficult to leave the Catholic Church because the movement was started a few years ago in response to all the abuse crisis, et cetera, to do just that. And it was being facilitated until it was discovered or established that once you're baptized, you can't leave. Once a Catholic, always a Catholic. Mm. Officially, you're a Catholic once you're baptized. And that's it. It's unchanged, unchangeable in the eyes of the Catholic Church. Now, you might feel differently about the matter yourself. However, joining a group like St. Paul, St. Pius X, or Lefebvre, same one, or Legions of Christ or Opus Dei, doesn't mean you cut your connections with the Catholic Church. Now, I should say if Opus Dei and the Legions of Christ have legitimate and recognized relationship with the Catholic Church. But the St. Pius X Society, first of all, you have to get into it and be accepted by them. If you want to be excommunicated. But God, it's a pretty extreme decision to make. You're going from the frying pan into the fire, really, if you want to get out of the Catholic Church that badly. There are better ways to do it.
Well, maybe it's maybe you're in the Society of St. Pius. It's even more difficult to leave that.
It's also difficult to get into it. Yeah.
It's a Hotel California kind of situation. Yeah, Patsy, absolutely. thanks a million. As ever. That was Patsy McGarry there, former religious affairs correspondent for the Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.